Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, April 30th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This Saturday, the evangelism team will be going to Child Haven. They've invited us back this Saturday, and there will be two classes with elementary girls and elementary boys. So I appreciate your prayers for the evangelism team, that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands, and that the grace gospel will be given clearly and accurately. Pray that God would prepare the hearts of all those children and the staff, and that he might use this to his honor and his glory to bring many sons into glory. It's absolutely amazing. This is a government-run school, this Child Haven, and it's sad in many ways, because the families are so devastated that the children are taken away from the parents. And the fact that they're here, that's one of the very extremely sad situation for those children. But this is an opportunity for them to hear the grace gospel, believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they have invited us to come back again and again and again and again. It will be fun to see how many of those little ones wound up in heaven when we get there. So I would appreciate your prayers for the evangelism team. That's this Saturday at Child Haven. And then a very excellent article in the Israel My Glory. You have probably heard about the International Criminal Court. International Criminal Court. This is the thinking of a one world movement This will be, I'm sure, a major issue in the Antichrist, in his globalism, in the tribulation. And the International Criminal Court is held in The Hague. It's an evil, 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 satanic institution. But then, when you hear international, you know it's a major satanic problem. The International Criminal Court's recent decision to issue arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over the war in Gaza is an underhanded effort to prevent the Jewish state from defending itself against Islamic terrorism. Palestinians and other enemies of Israel are increasingly resorting to lawfare, the weaponization of international law to accomplish through specious legal proceedings what they have been unable to achieve on the battlefield. The Hague-based ICC accused Netanyahu and Gallant of committing war crimes and crimes against humanity during Israel's military campaign against Hamas. The court falsely claimed that the two men had carried out a widespread and systematic attack against the civilian population of Gaza, and they determined that each bear criminal responsibility for the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare, and crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts. Israeli officials vehemently deny those charges. Netanyahu called the ICC's decision baseless and without any factual or legal foundation whatsoever. He noted that Israeli officials have done everything in our power to avoid civilian casualties, including issuing millions of text messages, phone calls, and leaflets to the citizens of Gaza to get them out of harm's way. And at the same time, Hamas operatives did everything in their power to keep them in harm's way, including shooting them, using them as human shields. He added that Israel has supplied Gazans with more than 700,000 tons of food and supplies that are routinely looted by Hamas terrorists. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz characterized the ICC's decision as a moral disgrace, entirely tainted by anti-Semitism, and one which drags the international judicial system to an unprecedented low. He vowed that the Israeli government will continue to defend the citizens of Israel with determination and pride, standing firm against anyone who attempts to undermine our right to self-defense. Colonel Richard Kemp, founding member of the High Level military group, an independent body of senior military officers from NATO and other democratic countries, was part of an observer mission monitoring the war in Gaza. He assessed that the Israeli military was fully complying with international law. We pointed out that they have been making greater efforts and employing more sophisticated procedures than any other armies in the history of mankind to mitigate harm to civilians. Kemp warned that the ICC's decision creates a two-tier international justice system under which terrorists are effectively inviolable while democratic states trying to resist them are hung out to dry. He accused the ICC of moral bankruptcy by creating a false equivalence between arch-terrorists whose currency is blood and suffering, and the leaders of a democratic state defending their people from attack. Netanyahu's office said that no anti-Israel decision will prevent the state of Israel from defending its citizens. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will not give in to pressure. He will continue to pursue all the objectives that Israel set out to achieve in its just war against Hamas and the Iranian axis of terror. Always like to hear truth right on. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at the corrected translation starting in verse 6. But God, the one who comforts the downhearted and the humble, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by means of his coming, but also by means of the comfort with which comfort he, Titus, was comforted and encouraged by you, as he reported to us your longing, your deep sorrow, your great concern for me, with the result that I rejoiced even more. This is the Apostle Paul's great inner happiness. Now, the Apostle Paul is the greatest believer perhaps of all time. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you have that, you have a self-contained happiness that goes with you everywhere you go. Whether you're in prosperity or adversity, whether you're living or dying. And that was the Apostle Paul. He had that great happiness when he was living. He had that great happiness when he was executed by Nero and went home to be with the Lord. And so here, this brought in the verse 7, the key word there is Cairo, which means to rejoice, to be glad, to be happy. Cairo means to have inner happiness. This is plus H, self-sustained happiness. Cairo is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love enables you to have great inner happiness of soul, even when you are going through the greatest of pain, grief, adversity, suffering. The comparative adverb malon means to a greater degree than before, or even more, or now more than ever. Paul had great inner happiness, plus H, before Titus returned and gave his fantastic report. But now Paul has, plus H, even more than ever before. And that brought us to a study on happiness in the Bible. And we noted point one was definition and vocabulary. We noted English words that are used in the Bible for happiness, like joy, referring to a state of happiness or bliss or something which causes happiness. The verb rejoice is defined as an expression of a state of happiness. The English noun happiness is defined as a state of well-being characterized by contentment. And then the Hebrew word for happiness was asherei. It's always in the plural and correctly translated happinesses, which means there are many characteristics of happiness. And then the Greek word for happiness, there's several, chara, usually translated joy, makarios, which is always in the plural, makarioi, again, happinesses, the noun autarkes, content, the verb arkeo, to be content, the noun autarkeia, contentment. And then we noted point two, and that's about as far as we got with the biblical categories of happiness. And there's three. There's pseudo-happiness, or minus H. There's establishment happiness, or neutral H. And there's perfect happiness, the possession of God's happiness, plus H. Now, we are right in the middle of category number one, pseudo-happiness, or minus H. And we have studied the first six points of category number one, pseudo-happiness. We noted point one, pseudo-happiness is Satan's attempt to counterfeit the happiness, the contentment, the blessing which God has provided for every church-age believer as royal family of God. And this is what we expect because Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And he said in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High God. And that means he will counterfeit what God has provided. He has a counterfeit for it. God has his happiness, plus H. Satan has a counterfeit happiness, pseudo-happiness, minus H. Point two, as the ruler of this world, Satan likes to keep his constituents happy. And he does so by his counterfeit of happiness, providing stimulation, ambition, self-indulgence, which will either counterfeit or cancel out the happiness that God provides for us. Point three, Satan himself does not personally administer minus H, pseudo-happiness, to any person, but he does provide the system. Point four, Satan's myth of arrogance is that both people and pleasant circumstances in life will make you happy. Point five, Satan's propaganda is that money will make you happy, success will make you happy, pleasure will make you happy, social life will make you happy, sexual life will make you happy, public approbation will make you happy, fame will make you happy, material things will make you happy, travel will make you happy, health will make you happy, pleasant circumstances will make you happy. This is Satan's propaganda. And this may be true under certain circumstances and with certain limitations. However, pseudo-happiness never lasts. Often these things are pleasurable, stimulating, fun, and enjoyable, but they won't carry you in times of suffering. They won't carry you in times of adversity. And then point six, by way of contrast, what God has provided for us in perfect happiness, plus H, is a permanent factor, a problem-solving device. It is a self-contained happiness that you take with you everywhere you go. If you are dependent on any person or set of circumstances for happiness, you are a very weak believer. You're just a weak believer. You do not have plus H, God's happiness. To that extent that you are dependent on people or circumstances, prosperity, success, or any of the accoutrements of life for happiness, you are a very weak believer. But if, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been faithful to fulfill the mandate, 2 Peter 3:18, mandated to grow up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and attain spiritual maturity, you are not only a strong believer, but you have that great self-contained happiness plus H. And you take that self-contained happiness with you everywhere you go. It isn't dependent on environment. It isn't dependent upon association. It isn't dependent upon circumstances of prosperity or adversity. It is a part of God's grace, blessings, and to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who fulfill the reason why we're here. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Now that brings us, we start tonight at point seven. In minus H, pseudo-happiness. Point seven, Satan is the ruler of this world, and he rules and controls through his cosmic system. He has invented a system to rule planet Earth. Cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. He's the ruler of planet Earth. That's absolutely true, and he will continue to be the ruler of planet Earth until the second advent of Jesus Christ, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will be the ruler of planet Earth. 8. Satan's administration of pseudo-happiness to any believer or unbeliever can only exist when that person is making bad decisions in his life, out of fellowship with God, living and involved in Satan's cosmic system. Nine, arrogant preoccupation with self. That's the interlocking systems of arrogance. When you are out of fellowship with God and in Satan's cosmic system, well, you have arrogant preoccupation with self. Me, 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 me. And I see that all over America. That's all I see in America today. We are fulfilling what the Bible says. We are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, lovers of money, lovers of self. And I see that, and it's ruined athletics. Some coaches have even quit coaching because of NIL. And it used to be that kids came to college to get an education. And when they came to college to get an education, they participated in athletics. And they had a loyalty to the school. And a loyalty to the other members on the team. They were like you were brothers, you were family. But today, to hell with the rest of the team. I'm gonna go and make money. Who's gonna give me the most money? To hell with all the rest of the team. You can go to hell. I'm gonna make lots of money. Go for it. Well, Tony Bennett, who I really appreciate, this guy as a coach. He was a coach at Virginia and won a national championship at Virginia. He stepped down and says, I cannot coach. I refuse to coach with what's happening with the NCAA, with this NIL. He said, players come here, but he says, if some other school offers them more money than we offer them, then they're out of here. They don't care about the school. They don't care about the rest of their teammates. It's just me, 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 me. That's all. What is that? Interlocking systems of arrogance. We have a whole athletic system in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance. It's just me, 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 me. What's in it for me? Well, and here you have UNLV's in the Mountain West. Mountain West is a mid-major conference. They don't have the money. They don't have the money. But the major conferences, they'll offer millions. Whether it's the coach or whether it's the players. And so, you know what? Frankly, they're going to eliminate all the mid-major conferences, WCC, Mountain West, all these. They'll make another tournament for them, but only the major conferences for the national championship. Well, that's where it's headed. But what is this? Satan, the world, this nation, athletics, they're totally involved in Satan's cosmic system. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. What's in it for me? My brother, who played college football at Washington State University, by the way, is the best football player I ever saw. We were talking, and I said, by the way, how much money did you get paid from Washington State to go play football there? He said, I think I had to pay them. They didn't pay me anything. He got a scholarship, and I got a scholarship for track and field. But I wanted to go to Washington State. The University of Washington Huskies, almost like communists on the West Coast, they flew me out. They wanted me to play football for the University of Washington. I went out, swam in the pool with the coach at his house and all the other players, and took us out in the field, and how great this would be to be a Washington Husky. I enjoyed all that one. Flew back. Are you going to go to the University of Washington? Hell no! I'm going to be a Cougar! And went to Washington State. And you know what? We never lost to those Huskies ever in track and field. Not in 4 years I was there. We never lost to the Huskies. There's three things. The Huskies, Washington Huskies, Notre Dame, and the Communists. They're all in the same place. Now, that no extra charge for any of that. Arrogant preoccupation with self through living in the cosmic system guarantees unhappiness. That's point nine. Arrogant preoccupation with self through living in the cosmic system guarantees unhappiness. Instead of true happiness, living in the cosmic system guarantees self-induced misery and divine discipline. Point 10. You are not happy because you are free to do whatever you want. That doesn't make you happy. You can be free to indulge yourself in every whim of life and yet become totally frustrated and miserable. You must have capacity for happiness to really be happy, and then you can be happy in whatever life has to offer you in a given moment. Where does that capacity for happiness come from? God. From God. He wants to share His happiness with you. He wants you to attain spiritual maturity and have a self, God's self-contained happiness in your soul that goes with you everywhere you go. 11. Pseudo-happiness is superficial, volatile, unstable, frustrating, and evanescent. It is the source of self-induced misery under the law of volitional responsibility. And you know the law of volitional responsibility. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So pseudo-happiness is the source of self-induced misery under the law of volitional responsibility. You're the product of your own bad decision. So that's minus H. Now category number two, neutral H, establishment happiness, or neutral H. Category number two. All right, let's take a look at establishment happiness. Now, one, establishment happiness is derived from compliance to the laws of divine establishment. And the laws of divine establishment have been provided by God for the whole human race. For the whole human race. For believers and unbelievers alike. This is a happiness that the unbeliever can have. The unbeliever can have establishment happiness or neutral happiness. It's related to the laws of divine establishment. And those laws are for the whole human race, believers and unbelievers alike. So point two, establishment truth is for both believers and unbelievers alike. Any member of the human race has the potential to have establishment happiness, neutral happiness. Three, the unbeliever can achieve neutral happiness. And how does he develop that? Through humility. Humility. Respect for authority. And there are unbelievers that have great respect for authority. And that gives them capacity for neutral happiness. Respect for authority. The key to happiness in the unbeliever is having a fantastic humility. And I have known unbelievers that have a fantastic humility. And they have capacity for neutral age establishment happiness. And that's great. And while they're here on this earth, they will have that neutral happiness. From time to time, they will have that. The sad point is, it stops when they die. It doesn't go beyond the grave. And when they die, they go into torments. And they're in torments until they're cast into the lake of fire. But because of their humility and respect for authority, while they're here on this earth, they, from time to time, have this great neutral happiness. 4. The unbeliever can marry a woman with whom he has total compatibility. I'm talking about unbelievers now. The unbeliever can marry a woman with whom he has total compatibility. And at the same time, he can work in some job or profession which he enjoys. And he has neutral happiness, establishment happiness. When I was in high school, John Rogers High School, I had an English teacher. He was an unbeliever. He had neutral happiness. He was married to a gal, total compatibility. Every day he would talk about how great and wonderful his wife was. Day after day after day. Here he is. He's an unbeliever. We're in English class in high school. And I just go, wow. This guy has a great marriage. But he's an unbeliever. And he had a great job. He loved being a teacher. So the unbeliever can marry a woman with whom he has total compatibility, at the same time work at some job or profession which he enjoys, and he has neutral happiness. Ecclesiastes 9:9 mentions these two areas of life, marriage and work, as the basis for which unbelievers can have a genuine short-term happiness compatible with their capacity from humility. It's short-term because we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. We're not here very long. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life. That's neutral happiness. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you have loved all the days of your, now listen, your life of vanity. That's an unbeliever. The unbeliever, his life is a life of vanity. He's here today, he's gone tomorrow, then he's in torment, then he's in the lake of fire. But while he's here, in the short time while he's here, enjoy life with your wife, whom you have loved all the days of your life of vanity, which God has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life, neutral happiness. This successful marriage and happiness in your occupation in which you are working under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Great passage on neutral age. Now let's amplify Ecclesiastes 9:9. 1, a life of vanity refers to the life of the unbeliever. A life of vanity refers to the life of the unbeliever. Whatever kind of life it is, it's very short term. And as flawed as the unbeliever is, God has provided for him a system in which he can have neutral H, establishment happiness in marriage, establishment happiness at his job. So a life of vanity refers to the life of the unbeliever. Whatever kind of life it is very short term. Two, there is neutral happiness at his work for certain unbelievers who have virtue and honor based on establishment principles. The type of work is not specified in the verse. It is any job that he enjoys that's not criminal. So he can have neutral happiness at work. He can have neutral happiness in his marriage. Three, this explains some very happy unbelievers. This explains some very happy unbelievers. But remember, it is very short term. Very short term. Beyond the grave, they will first of all face torments in Hades, and then they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, point four, two things can make an unbeliever happy: a successful relationship in marriage and his occupation in life. So two things can make an unbeliever happy: a successful relationship in marriage and his occupation in life. Happiness in these two areas come to the unbeliever who has developed humility and virtue from the laws of divine establishment. Five, the tragedy of neutral happiness is that there is no perpetuation of this happiness beyond the grave. The tragedy of neutral happiness, establishment happiness, is that there is no perpetuation of this happiness beyond the grave. Neutral happiness cannot be perpetuated beyond time. And eternity is a long, long time. All too often, neutral happiness becomes a victim of circumstances. Certain adverse circumstances are stronger than neutral happiness and can wipe it out. So neutral happiness cannot even survive tragedy or any real adversity. Six, neutral happiness is a restricted and temporary happiness. It is a restricted and temporary happiness. It is related and tied into establishment principles, but it is vulnerable to its environment and its circumstances. For example, example number one, a man may be very happy with his wife, but if she becomes unhappy and leaves him, his neutral happiness is gone. Example number two. A man may love and enjoy his job or profession, but this can be taken away from him by various means. Economic collapse, unemployment, litigation, and it's gone. Seven, nationalism is also related to neutral happiness. Nationalism. You know, here we are living in Client Nation USA, and look at all the people in this country that hate America. They hate the United States of America. They hate our president. They hate Republicans. They hate America. And here we are in the Client Nation of God. This should be a nation that loves America, loves the United States of America, loves the Constitution, loves the freedoms that have been provided for us in this nation. But no. But those who do love the nation and freedom and nationalism have a neutral happiness. Psalm 144, verse 15 tells us that within the function of the Client Nation to God, both believers and unbelievers can possess neutral happiness. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, "How happy," and this is neutral happiness, "how happy are the people, both believers and unbelievers, under the laws of divine establishment, who are so situated, establishment, prosperity." And then we switch to the believers. And how happy, plus H, perfect happiness, are those people, those believers, whose God is the Lord. Unbelievers can still have the potential for establishment happiness, but believers have the potential to share the happiness of God. Point eight, there is neutral happiness for the Client Nation to God under the principle of freedom through military victory. There is neutral happiness for the Client Nation to God under the principle of freedom through military victory. Soldiers coming home from war, soldiers can be very happy fighting and winning a war and coming home. That is neutral happiness. Freedom through military victory. But people who are not authority-oriented are not happy. An unrestrained population is an unhappy population. Point nine. Under the laws of divine establishment, neutral happiness is possible when one's children turn out well. Under the laws of divine establishment, neutral happiness is possible when one's children turn out well. Neutral happiness is dependent upon, again, the laws of divine establishment and the perpetuation of the laws of divine establishment to the next generation. When one's children grow up and have humility, the key to establishment happiness and virtue and integrity, why, there's neutral happiness for the children and for the parents. Again, however, neutral happiness is a temporary happiness which does not sustain under pressure and does not carry over into eternity. It is very short. It stops at the grave. Category number three in the Bible is plus H, perfect happiness, the possession of God's happiness. And God, you know that God has commanded you to be happy? He's commanded you to be happy. I mean, that shows you how stupid we are. You wouldn't think God would have to command us to be happy. You would think that we could figure that one out. We need to be happy. But God gives us a command to be happy at all times. He commands us to be happy at all times. So there is a, this is what God has for us. This is what God wants us to have. The possession of His happiness. Neutral happiness is dependent happiness. However, perfect happiness, God happiness, is independent happiness. Neutral happiness is dependent on circumstances. However, perfect happiness, plus H, is independent in the soul of the spiritually mature believer. A self-contained happiness that goes with you everywhere. Plus H is the monopoly of the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. It only belongs to those few believers who reach the ultimate objective of virtue love brought to completion in their heart. However, relatively few believers have this perfect happiness because it requires humility and positive volition. Humility and positive volition. It requires living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. It requires consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. So it requires something that many lazy-minded persons will never do. And that is to concentrate on anything for very long. Most believers are easily distracted away from the spiritual life that God has for us. And they become discouraged. So, one, plus H is the only happiness that does not change with the weather. Plus H is the only happiness that does not change with the weather. Does not change with disastrous or difficult circumstances of life. It doesn't make any difference. Two, when you attain spiritual maturity, perfect happiness reaches its peak, and there is nothing like it in this life. Nothing like it in this life. Three, perfect happiness is a perpetual happiness for every category of existence after salvation. Perfect happiness is a perpetual happiness for every category of existence after salvation. Four. Opposition from Satan and persecution by other believers or unbelievers in the cosmic system, that doesn't take away your plus H. It intensifies your plus H. It doesn't take your plus H away. It intensifies your plus H. It intensifies your perfect happiness. Five. Since God possesses perfect happiness, He desires to share His perfect happiness with us. Since God possesses perfect happiness, He desires to share His perfect happiness with us. Here we are, living in the church age. Members of the royal family of God. And we have the potential of realizing and sharing God's perfect happiness. And God commands us, He gives us the mandate, be happy. All of you out there, be happy. I always get a kick out of these verses. You wouldn't think that God would have to give a command to us to be happy. But we have so many believers, no, I'm going to be a miserable SOB. Son of Belial. And that's where a lot of Christians, they are. Oh, they're not happy. They can't laugh. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're in serious trouble. And you're taking life way too seriously. So we are members of the royal family of God. We have the potential of realizing and sharing God's perfect happiness. And God will keep you alive long enough to attain His happiness, provided that you, from positive volition and humility, make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. 6. God gives us this command to have His happiness in several passages, both Old Testament and New Testament. So let's go Old Testament first. Old Testament. Psalm 97, verse 12. And this is the verb here is in the imperative mood. Be happy in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. Imperative mood. Be happy in the Lord. Psalm 97:12. Now turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Again, the verb here is Cairo, it's in the imperative mood. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brother, royal family of God, be happy. Command, be happy in the Lord. And then if that isn't enough there, over at verse 4 of chapter 4, Philippians 4, 4. Again, we have Cairo in the imperative mood, used twice, repeated. Keep on being happy in the Lord. And then he adds, at all times. At all times. 24/7. Keep on being happy in the Lord at all times, no matter what's going on. Whether you're healthy, or whether you're sick, whether you're living, or whether you're dying, whether you have bazillions of material wealth, or you are totally destitute. Keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. And then he says, and I will repeat this. I'm going to repeat this to you. Well, when God has to repeat it to us, you better pay attention. And the repeat is also imperative. Keep on being happy. Keep on being happy in the Lord at all times. And I repeat this command, keep on being happy. That's the will of God for you. God wants you to be happy at all times. At all times. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on at work, no matter what's going on in our nation or around the world, keep on being happy at all times. That's how great our God is. When you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you have self-contained happiness that goes with you everywhere you go. No matter what you do, you have this self-contained plus H, perfect happiness. And that's something that the world doesn't see very rarely. But the world ought to see it from you. Ought to see it from each one of you. The angels ought to see it. They're right with you all the time. They're watching everything. The angels ought to see it. The world ought to see it. You will have the most amazing visible impact on the angels and on the mankind in the world when you get to this point. This is something that 99% of the people in this country never see. And when they see it, they say, wow. And they'll come up to you. They come up to Devin. To Deb and me. Not Deb and I, Deb and me. Objective case. Got to think English. And they'll come, what do you guys have? You have something. What do you do? Debbie said, oh, she calls me Rich. Rich is a pastor of a church. Oh, well, that, he said, that explains it. No, it doesn't. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for 99% of the pastors in churches. But I said, we are Christians. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And we love Him. You're always happy. You're the only people that come in here and you're always happy. The other people come in here for dinner and they don't like this, they don't like that. Why did you change this on your menu? But you guys are always happy. Every time you come in here. Well, this is a self-contained happiness. All of you can have it. I hope you all will have it. This is God's will for you. Well, we haven't finished. We're in plus H. And we got to the place where God commands us to be happy. We're going to pick it up right there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.